to think Jeremy's in the worship team, the offertory song is a good transition into the sermon for this morning, because this Sunday we are ending our series on Relationships 101, talking about our relationship with the world. And so throughout my time in ministry, I've held strong to that idea that the Holy Spirit works in the worship planning process even weeks and weeks and months ahead of us. And so this Wednesday and this Thursday, when I saw the headlines and I saw the situation continue to unfold in the Ukraine, I knew we all needed this reminder today of what the relationship God calls us to have with the world is. Because we know that God loves the world and God loves its people. Even when there is conflict and strife and violence and war just like this. And it can be easy for us to separate ourselves from the people who live far away in the world, whether we're talking about the ongoing conflict in Haiti, the people of the Ukraine, those who just feel unsafe and uncertain in other parts of Europe, and even the people in Russia who are protesting this violence. It can be easy for us to separate ourselves from the people right at home that have a different perspective on this than all of us. Military families who are in fear of deployment. Those with relatives and friends in those countries steeped in conflict. It can be so easy to pass these people and these concerns and these hurts and these fears right on by. But what if? What if God's invitation to us today is to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan with some fresh eyes today? What if God's invitation to us is to not pass these people by? What if God's invitation is for us to use this story as a countercultural and a kingdom-focused way to have a relationship with our hurting world today? And so you're probably thinking, well, Nikki, how are you going to do this? How are you going to possibly tie all that's going on in the world with the parable of the Good Samaritan? Well, let's dive into our scripture passage to see. The parable of the Good Samaritan is one that is near and dear to our heart. It is this beacon of pop culture that even those with no church experience know the general format of this story. And so this morning I'll be reading from the Common English Bible version out of Luke chapter 10 verses 25 through 37. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Well, what is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right, and he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves who stripped him naked, beat him up, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was also going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came by that spot, saw the injured man, crossed over to the other side of the road, and went on his way. A Samaritan who was on a journey came to where the man was, but when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him, saw him, bandaged his wounds, tending to them with oil and with wine. And then he placed the wounded man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took 2 full days' worth of wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, 'Take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional costs.' What do you think? Which one of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered thieves. Then the legal expert said, the one who demonstrated mercy towards him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So as Christians, and even in American culture, we love this story. In fact, I've discovered there's even many places where we have what are called Good Samaritan laws, laws intended to protect those who go in and try to help someone who is hurting or injured. We love this story so much that we forget what it really means. We forget the kind of relationship that Jews had with Samaritans. We forget the kind of people that the priest and the Levite who passed on by were. We think of the Good Samaritan as universally understood to be the good guy, and the priest and the Levite universally understood to be, well, the bad guys. But what is so moving about this story is that's actually not the case. The parable that Jesus tells is so much more nuanced and so much more deep than the surface level reading that we often give it. We see even in the setup of this very passage, this tension between our human and our selfish tendencies and the mindset of the kingdom of God. It starts out with a lawyer who many scholars and commentators believe was a pupil well versed in Jesus' teachings. And this guy stood up to test Jesus. So we see throughout Jesus' ministries that he always has these conversations that help expand people's viewpoints, help them think about their faith in a different way. But it's not really his mode of operation to try to outsmart and outwit people all the time. And yet, that is what the lawyer does. So we see the very setup of this parable showcases the irony of someone who is trying to follow Jesus, trying to learn how to be like Jesus, and he's acting very un-Jesus-like. Trying to question and prod and test Jesus all to either outwit or outsmart or overpower him. But Jesus does not shut this man down and out. Instead, he invites him into a deeper understanding, into this thought-provoking lesson, this deep and this nuanced parable. We see a man who we can assume by the geography of where he was going was Jewish, and he was going on his merry way. And then all of a sudden, this poor guy was ambushed, nearly left for dead, robbed of all that he had, even his clothes. And then the priest came by. The priest who was the same religion, same ethnicity as this guy. And we thought, surely, surely this guy would help this poor man out. But the priest crossed the road and walked on by. Same goes for the Levite, same religion, same ethnicity. We would expect him to help, but he doesn't. He does not stop to help. And so what I learned this week in reading some commentaries is that they actually had many good and understandable reasons for why they crossed the road and went on by. They are not always the shallow jerks that we tend to paint them out to be. The thing is, this story, if we understand the cultural context, is a lot more nuanced than that. I learned that oftentimes robbers in that day and age were notorious for looking for a 2-for-1 special. So what they would do is they would rob a person, leave them just alive enough to serve as bait for the next unsuspecting victim. So we can imagine that the priest could have very well went by, looked at this man and thought, oh, I have heard about how this plays out and I am not going to get involved in that today. I am not going to fall for that trap. And the Levite could have honestly thought the same, feeling sorry for the poor guy, but understanding that he had to look out for himself. And then I've also seen a lot of scholars debate about the duty of the priest and the Levite in this situation. So if you know anything about Jewish culture in that day and age, they had a lot of purity laws that were so central to them and so central to their religion. And so one of the big ones was that priests could not touch a dead body. if they touched a dead body, that meant that they were unclean and they couldn't do the duties that they needed to perform in the temple. So it could be said if this man was near death, as our scripture passage says, perhaps they were afraid of breaking the rules. Perhaps they thought he was already dead and they didn't want to break the rules and touch a dead body and deal with all those repercussions. Of course, these are all the questions that you and I will never know the answer to. We only know what is printed in the scripture passages, but they make us ponder. They make this story a lot more nuanced. They help us to see that we're not always the injured man on the side of the road in this story. We're not always the Good Samaritan who is going in to help. We are far too often than we like to admit the priest and the Levite. We have lots of good and lots of understandable reasons for why we see our brothers and sisters in pain, in crisis, and fear and conflict and just pass on by. But then we have the Samaritan that enters the story. The one who was absolutely despised by the culture and the crowd that was listening. He was a minority. He was another. He was a stereotypical bad guy in every sense of the word. And what does this guy do? Well, he bravely goes to see if this man is even alive, risking his life to do so because it could have very easily been a trap. He delays his own journey, his own plan, whatever he had on his agenda for that day, to take the slower route of bandaging the man's wounds and heading for an inn. He spent 2 whole days' wages to help this man stay in safety and heal from his wounds and have a second chance at life, even though the world would say they were supposed to be bitter enemies. The Good Samaritan had so many good and understandable reasons to pass on by, but he didn't. And so that is an inspiration to us all. And I feel like this passage takes on a whole new level of powerful when we personalize it to ourselves. So I was discussing this passage with a clergy colleague of mine this week, Bailey Schreiner from Lamona Village Chapel in Brandon. And so he explained to me how he used this story in his preschool chapel that meets at the church. So he told the kids to pick a bear from the room, and so they got to pick that bear and they got to give it a name together. And so, of course, the robbers came by, they beat up their poor friend the bear and left him by the side of the road for dead. And so then Bailey, and I love this, Bailey puts on his clergy robe. And so he tells the kids, well, I'm a pastor. Do you think I'm going to stop to help the bear? And of course the kids go, yes, yes, you're going to stop to help the bear. But Bailey passed on by. And then he took off his robe and he explained to the kids in the parable of the Good Samaritan. It wasn't the priest, it wasn't the Levite, but the Samaritan who stopped and helped. I love how this story shows how Bailey personalized the story so much. The person that needed help wasn't a generic and a nameless stranger. It was a bear that the kids knew and the kids named and understood. And what I really loved and was so moved by was that Bailey himself, a pastor in his clergy robe, personified the priest and the Levite that passed on by. How humble is that? Showing us and challenging us all, whether we're lay or clergy, whether we're in church or out of church, we can all be the one that has a million good and understandable reasons to pass on by. And so another aside I want to throw in this morning, even especially for these days and these times, is that we can see that the parable of the Good Samaritan gives us a peek into the attitude of God. Jesus showcases in this parable that someone coming near, someone providing comfort, someone providing care, well, that is the hero of the story. The Good Samaritan coming near is the hero of the story. So if we see that Jesus is seeing that, we can see that our God has an attitude of coming near to us as well. That whenever someone is down or out, whenever someone is hurt, whenever someone experiences injustice, is injured and threatened, God does not pass by. God draws near with peace and grace and comfort and healing. And so I don't know how you might need to personalize this story today. How God might be calling you to reshape and reframe your relationship with our world. There are so many who embody that hurting and that broken man on the side of the road in our world today. There are families who in Haiti who are ravaged by violence. There are families in the Ukraine who are being torn apart and threatened by war. We have persons, Christians, even some of our fellow Methodists who are praying and protesting for peace and scared to death in Russia. Military families here in the state who are poised, ready, and fearful if their loved one has to pack up that bag by the door and be deployed overseas. And there's even ordinary local people just like you, just like me, with no special relationship, no special stake in the conflict, and yet our hearts just stay heavy and very, very burdened. And so we have so many good and understandable reasons to pass these people on by, that those are their stories and their pain, their hurts and their fears, and they're just not mine. They are miles and miles away. They aren't here. They are a different culture, a different race, speak a different language, practice a different religion than me. It's just too much hurt, too much pain, too much conflict for me to get swept up in. But as Jesus told us in this parable, we are not to pass on by. We are to look at the Good Samaritan and go and do likewise. While I have no specific and physical ways today that we can tend to these peoples and these situations just yet, we can be prepared when those times and those opportunities and those avenues come. Even though we just can't practically and safely go there ourselves, we can be people who care. Even though we can't reassure any of these people in person, what we can do is pray. Our brothers and sisters around the world, near and far, are injured on the side of the road. So may we not be the priest or the Levite today. May we not pass on by. May we draw near. May we encounter these people just as Christ calls us to do. Let's close in prayer together. God of peace, we pray for our hurting world today. We make the commitment to be people of peace who care about this world that you so love. We pray for peace around the world. We pray for comfort for those that fear and mourn. We pray for your presence and your grace in the places where it is most needed today. And may we find ourselves instruments of your peace in the world, encountering those in need in whatever ways you call us to do so. Amen. Thank you for joining us in this time of worship today. And as we prepare to go from this place, may we hear the benediction. May we learn from that story of the Good Samaritan today when we see the hurting, the injured, the sick. May we not pass them on by. May we be like the Good Samaritan and hear Jesus' call to go and do likewise. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.